I'm here with New Mexico's Lieutenant Governor, Dr. Howie Morales. Hello.
So good to be on the air with you. Thank you for having me on, Rachel.
Of course. So the census, it's going on until the end of October. What does it mean for New Mexico, for the economy, for the many homeless, Native Americans, minorities, low income, who need services?
Yeah, and so I appreciate this chance to talk about the census and how important that is to the state. One concern that I have, and why I've been on the radio shows all across the state, is the federal government just recently changed the deadline where it was originally in October to be counted. They changed that now to the end of September. So September 30th is the deadline to be counted in this year's census. So I want to encourage people to get on out there and do it as soon as possible, because the timeline has been cut short, unfortunately.
You know, that is particularly aggravating for most states, I would imagine, because as it was, the census was getting delayed in its start by insistence early on that a citizenship question be on the census form, et cetera. And then, of course, President Trump more recently issued an executive order saying basically that any undocumented immigrant would not be counted on the census. Well, you know, that would be a bit hard to enforce, I would think.
It's just really frustrating, because the census is so important, as you indicated, the funding that it's used for, everywhere from our roads to our schools to our hospitals to Medicaid and so many other areas that are important to New Mexicans and people across the country. To be playing political games like this is disturbing, because now we've cut the time when people can go in and be counted, but also is making up the rules as we've gone on. Period. It's about a population count. It's been like that since the early, for decades, having the census be counted, and never has it been the way that it has this year. Whether you're a citizen or non-citizen, it's been, the census count has been that way to count the population, and that shouldn't change. And it's not going to hold up in court, so it's unfortunate that the president has chosen to do that.
And will the legal challenges be likely to make a difference before the end of September?
Well, I think that the legal challenges definitely would be successful. I'm not sure on the timeline on when that is. Now, I do think that people have to go in and still make sure that they go to 2020census.gov to have their number counted, to make sure that the population is correct and accurate here in the state. So I would encourage people to do so, even though the deadline may be now limited to September 30th. It doesn't take away that we can get on there today and we can be counted.
What is the state of New Mexico doing to reach out to those who don't have mailing addresses or are homeless, for example, to get them counted?
It's definitely been a challenge. And on top of that, when we're dealing with COVID and all the requirements that we're trying to have out there to keep people safe, it's been a census like no other. But, you know, fortunately, with many church organizations, many volunteer groups, many other organizations that have been there with local governments and state, have really helped out to try to reach where we need to be. Unfortunately, we still are lagging in New Mexico. We're lagging from other states of getting the accurate count. So I encourage people to make sure they do so. And again, I want to thank all those social groups who have been out there trying to help find those people, regardless of what their living situation is, that they're counted.
What are the consequences, Howie, of not getting an accurate count in New Mexico, for example?
It's funding. Funding is absolutely critical. And when we don't have the indication of a correct number of people who live in New Mexico, the concern then becomes that we have the population who are living here anyway, but we're not getting the funding and the resources to have appropriate care, appropriate school funding, and appropriate services that are needed for people in the state.
And as I alluded to before, the fact that there are many undocumented immigrants and undocumented workers, whether unemployed or not, in the state of New Mexico or elsewhere, does not mean they won't be counted. In point of fact, there is no mechanism by which they can be banned from being counted.
Yeah, and that's correct. And I think that's where there's some misconceptions at times with the census, where there's some fear of being counted, is that that can be used for other purposes. And it can't. It's just a simple population count. So you're not asked on those questions. You're not asked your political party affiliation. You're not asked your Social Security number, and you're not asked your citizenship. It just simply asks how many people live in your household and some basic information that can be used for some of the demographics.
And even if someone has not received something in the mail, even if they don't have an ID number, for example, there's nothing that prevents anyone, whether the deadline is the end of September or the end of October, to go online if there's internet access to 2020 Census. That's the number 2020CENSUS.gov. Or to call the toll-free number 844-330-2020. That's 1-844-330-2020. And if calling on the phone, is that an anonymous call?
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think that those options that you've given are all ways that people can go in to get counted. Do so today. It takes less than 10 minutes. Very simple to do. And I commend all those that have been working to get people counted. But you're absolutely protected. And this is just wanting to make sure it's a population count.
For any individual who just doesn't feel it's worth it, what could it mean for someone who's low income, who's unemployed, who's perhaps a member of a tribe or homeless, to put out the extra effort to get counted on the census?
Yeah, it really is not much effort that needs to go into it, but the importance of doing that and the importance of being counted is not only important for now, but it's going to be lasting for the next decade, because the census count lasts for 10 years, and we want to make sure that we're not undercounted, as we saw, unfortunately, in the 2010 census.
What does the census mean for funding for education, for example, since we were talking with a PhD in education?
Yeah, and again, we have so many federal funds that come into our state, whether it's Title I funds, whether it's funds for special education, services that are needed. The more people that we can get counted, the more identification of what that is and needed for the state, the more resources that we can have for our students in making sure those professionals are there to deliver those services.
Now, before I go to a sidebar, Howie, is there anything else that you might like to say or summarize regarding the census?
Yeah, I just want to make sure that people are understanding that the importance of this and how easy it is to do, making sure that that there's no risk there. But if you do get a phone call or questions that come up that oftentimes may ask for a Social Security number or may ask for a party affiliation or citizenship, then please report that, because that's not coming from the census. The census is highly secure, doesn't ask any of those questions. I want to make sure people feel safe at all times.
And again, anyone can call the toll-free number to report census figures anonymously at 1-844-330-2020. That's 1-844-330-2020. Or if you have internet access of any kind, you can visit 2020C as in cat, E, N as in Nancy or New Mexico, S as in Sam, U, S as in Sam.gov. That's 2020census.gov, 2020census.gov. Before we let you go, Howie, in recent weeks even, it has been noted that new COVID-19 cases in Arizona were 10 times what they've been in New Mexico of late. And while those numbers are coming down, do you feel that that supports decisions that Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham has been making?
Yeah, and it's been difficult, and we understand exactly the frustrations that people across New Mexico have. But, you know, I credit our governor from the very beginning. She took this seriously. She wanted to make sure that we had as many tests as possible to identify what is happening in New Mexico. She wanted to make sure that we had enough hospital bed capacity, as you saw there in the Gallup area, where they had transformed one of the schools into a hospital bed facility, if that was needed. And then we wanted to make sure that there was proper protective equipment for all of our frontline caregivers. And that strategy really paid off. And even though people have been frustrated and want to make sure we can try to get back to normal life as possible, I think the reflection of what's happened in California, Arizona, and Texas, where they opened up too quickly, and how quickly this can get out of control. And so I do commend all the people across the state for doing their part, even though we can always do better, and we need to do better. Wearing a mask, socially distancing themselves, washing their hands, the simple things that make such a huge difference in why New Mexico isn't in the position that surrounding states are.
And Howie, in states where some schools have been opened up to in-person classes, there has been a resurgence of COVID-19 cases among students and faculty. What is your current position with regard to New Mexico schools and COVID-19?
As we know, the research clearly shows that the best instruction you can get is in-person instruction. I believe that an effective education system is a personalized education system, but that's where it's been difficult, and we understand that first and foremost, we've got to keep in mind the children's safety, the educator's safety, and school staff safety, and the approach that we're going is a remote approach to get back into the education mode, to get the students thinking about school once again, because they've been off since March, and that's a long time for that break. But we also don't want to rush in too quickly where we have to interrupt school, stop once again, have them go home, and then we just have the disruption that we had in March.
And finally, Howie, have you been aware of any discussion on timelines for even opening up partially dine-in restaurants and such as that?
Those are all discussions we have on a daily basis. We look at science, we look at the data, and really have it to help us make decisions of what needs to be done. I do have to say that we have flattened the curve again, and that was reported in last week's press conference, so I want to commend New Mexicans for doing that. And we continually see that the numbers on the daily cases are going down. And so that's a positive trend, but we can't stop and we can't let our guard down. Well, we start discussing what we can do in phase two to reopen different parts of the state or to expand the opening, that we always keep in mind that it's the simple things, but effective things that are going to keep us moving in that direction.
Howie, is there anything that the state of New Mexico can do to further pressure Congress and the White House, for that matter, to increase or extend CARES funding for everything from the unemployed to restaurants and other essential services, or for that matter, to improve the testing availability, given the scandals of late that we've heard from about the White House and Jared Kushner, for example?
Yeah, and again, is, you know, one thing that I've been grateful for is the understanding of the people in the state. Even though they may not always agree with us, they understand that we're doing the best we can, working together, all in it together, to make sure that we can have the best possible results. And I know on the daily calls that our governor is in with D.C., making sure that we're advocating on what needs to be done in communication with our local delegation, that's been really instrumental. And again, we have a long way to go. We're clearly not out of this, but I do think the steps that we've taken in New Mexico has been instrumental.
And going back briefly to the census, has there been any discussion on timelines for adding some additional in-person outreach?
There is, and there's, I believe, starting next week, maybe late this week, is people will start going to door-to-door and do it in a safe way to make sure they can get an accurate count. And I know, personally speaking, I probably wouldn't want somebody to come to my door, so the easy way to get around that is to go online or make the phone call and get your numbers counted, and that way you're not going to show up that a certain address hasn't reported. Just go online, do it, or make the phone call and save those people who have to go door to door that time from having to go to your door.
And again, anyone can anonymously call the toll-free number 1-844-330-2020 to get counted in the census. That's 844-330-2020. Or if you have cellular data or online access, you can visit 2020census.gov. That's 2020, C as in cat, E, N as in New Mexico, S as in Sam, U, S as in Sam.gov. It's 2020census.gov. Any last words, Howie?
Again, thank you for giving me the opportunity to give some information, answer some questions. And then I just want to remind New Mexicans that it's been a tough 6 months. It's been something that we never would have expected. But to remind everyone that we are in this together, it's important that we show compassion, kindness, and respect to one another, even through these difficult times. So just want to say thank you, New Mexico, and thank you, Rachel, for this interview.
I've been speaking with New Mexico's Lieutenant Governor, Dr. Howie Morales. And by the way, how is your name listed on your PhD, Howie?
It's Howie C. Morales.
Well, that's easy.
Yeah.
I really appreciate your time today.
Thank you.